Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now.
In the beginning, it's true. It's the beginning of the holiday season, and here we go again. I love the holiday season, and I know it presents enormous challenges for my clients around emotional eating. So in this episode, I dive into how to begin to prepare for Thanksgiving, what it's like, and what you can do to start to really bolster yourself around the patterns that you have that relate to overeating. Take a listen so that you can be best prepared for this holiday season and enjoy. Thank you so much for your time and your effort and for you to continue to overcome your emotional eating.
I'm so glad you're on with me this evening. This time of year brings about a lot of content for these calls. Starting at, you know, the end of October, I always look at this time period as kind of the go time. It has been that way for me for 26 years. I don't know if that will ever stop. I know that many people look at this time of year as go time with respect to their holidays and whether it's gift giving or volunteering and whatever you do for your traditional holidays. Many, many things lead us to move into go time. But for me, in this professional career that I have, this time of year is fraught with so much content and information and behavior change and nutrition help and expertise around modifications. So today, here though on call, content for us tonight on 11-11 is where we move into go time. We'll start tonight by talking about the beginning stages of getting set up for holiday time. Holidays are fraught with amazing things, from good food to good people to traditions to warm and fuzzy environments to seeing maybe people that you haven't seen all year. And for many, many of my clients, it's brought up struggle and strife and emotional eating and fear. And for some people, just logistical, behavioral, tactical structure that's needed. And so as we go through the next few weeks till we move into the beginning of January, every week I'll be bringing something new around these topics. And tonight, as I mentioned, I'm going to be talking about the beginnings of Thanksgiving and what that looks like, because there is so much focus on food around Thanksgiving time, as you can imagine. And so tonight's call, I want to really focus for everybody on what does that look like when you're in a space of body change, when you're trying to lose weight, when you're trying to look different, be healthier, maybe get your blood sugars down if you have diabetes, maybe prevent diabetes if you're looking at any and all of those things. And so tonight's call is titled In the Beginning, Getting Ready for Thanksgiving, because this is where it begins. For many of you, you probably either have holiday plans in the works or working on those for Thanksgiving, whether you travel or you stay at home or you have people over or you go out. And I know some of you may still be cleaning up from Halloween. We had Halloween a couple weeks ago, and I know in our home, we still have some bags of candy, even though the Halloween fairy does come in our home. For those of you who have younger kids, the Halloween fairy helps me out tremendously every year by taking away a whole lot of my children's candy. And this year, we actually donated our candy to the veterans. We had a woman in our community, which was an excellent cause. It's the first time I'd heard of it. But there was a woman in our community that actually collected all candy that was either left over or that they knew their kids were not going to eat. In our case, the Halloween fairy came and took that candy away. And she actually boxes it up and she sends it to our troops overseas, anyone that's stationed overseas, so that they can have a little bit of home for Halloween. So that was an excellent cause, one I hadn't heard of before. But it was a great way also for us to kind of clean out our home. Even though my kids do get to keep some of their candy, they keep only what they love, and we give what we don't. And as we move into Thanksgiving, we have more food. We have being out of routine. We may have the beginning of a fun-filled, stress-more holiday season. I say stress more because everyone is always saying stress less. But that's not always the case when it comes to holidays, because there are more obligations and more things to do on top of your already changing menu and nutrition plans. So my role on these calls is to help make it more reasonable and more realistic, and help you in any way that you need, from the emotional to the physical to the physiological. So tonight is our time where we're going to get that kind of 30,000-mile view. And as we go through the next 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, we'll get in closer and closer on Thanksgiving to allow you to really succeed during that day. And for some people, the day after or the day before, depending on how that goes for you, or if you're leaving for the whole week, what is that travel time look for you? So tonight, in getting that 30,000 mile view, we really want to start to brainstorm around that day. And many people will say to me, well, that's 2.5 weeks away. But for me, what really I know to be empowering for people is to get the 30,000 mile view in order for you to really hone in and be successful on that day or that week, and what that means to you. So as we move into the next few weeks, it gives you enough time so you're not running around the night before or the day before trying to figure out, oh, I didn't make that recipe and that would have been better. I should have done this, or I wish I would have asked her over, or I wish we'd done this kind of giveaway party at the end, in whatever way that looks like. So there's a number of things I want you guys to ask yourself tonight after the call. Well, I'll ask them to you. You answer them, but you can write them down. And you don't have to finish it on the call tonight, but I do want you to finish it, because these questions will help you really define what that day is going to look like for you. So first and foremost, ask yourself, is Thanksgiving a problem for you with your food, eating behaviors, or weight? So I've worked with many people over my career, and some people will say, yeah, I can't control my food. I eat way too much, portion-wise. Other people will say to me, yeah, I can't stop eating from the moment that day begins to the moment I go to bed. That's an eating behavior, right? Because that's grazing through the day. I want you to hear the difference. And then other people would say, you know, I gained 4 pounds in 2 days over the Thanksgiving holiday. So understand, first and foremost, because it isn't true for everyone, but answer the question, is Thanksgiving a problem for you? And if you can identify, is it your food or your portions? Is it your eating behaviors? Or is it the weight change? Now, I know everyone will say, but the weight wouldn't change if the food was a problem. For some people, depending on the stage that you're in, I have patients that will come to me and say, you know, I don't know why my weight jumped up 4 pounds in 2 days. So, okay, let's start there, right? And so that's what I want you just to begin to think about. There's a starting point if you don't know why. So, second question would be, if you do have a problem with any of those things, do you know why? Now, I know that sounds like a really rhetorical question. It's not meant to be. The why underneath the what we do is the most important answer that you can ever give yourself. So, do you know why? Do you know why your portions are so big that day? Now, some people are going to say, well, everybody's portions are big that day. Okay, yes. And do you know why? Is it a comfort thing? Is it because you haven't had those foods in a full 365 days in a full year, and now you're just having that amazing casserole that you only make once a year? And so if you only have that once a year and you love it, it's really hard to only eat a small portion of it, right? So that could be a why, right? If there's emotions that come up for you for who you eat with and how you eat and where you eat and the stress level that you have, then that could be a why as to why your eating behaviors are so different, right? So get a sense of if those things are different, do you now know why? And if you don't, take a stab in the dark. Start to get a sense of maybe you know a little bit about it, okay? Because it'll come to you. Sometimes when we answer questions like this, it's not right in the moment. A lot of times if I'm doing an activity with myself where I'm asking myself questions, I'll have to go back and back and back to answer the question day after day after day to finally get to the one that fits right. So the process in it is important too. Number three, what was great about last year Thanksgiving? What was great for you? There's an important reason why you want to figure that out. Was it great with who you saw, how you felt, who you were with, what you did before, what you did after? What was so great or good about last year's Thanksgiving? And then number four would be, what would you change this year? So if things were great last year, then obviously we want to keep what was great in the mix, if you can. I mean, if you went on a fabulous trip to, I don't know, somewhere, to Costa Rica, to wherever your dream place was, and you can not do that this year, well, then we might not be able to implement that. But you might be able to implement some of the food that you had there here, right? So looking at it like that. But what was great about last year Thanksgiving, and then what would you change this year? What would you want to change this year? That's number four. And then number five is, what is your ideal vision of Thanksgiving? Now, this is something I don't feel like we all do in our life a lot with many, many, many things. But I really love to start the process in learning visioning with a holiday like Thanksgiving, because it's contained to usually 24 hours. Now, as I mentioned, some people travel for a week or a couple of days, but the celebration of that day with food typically takes place for about 24 hours and only that. So what's your ideal vision of that day? I would only eat X, Y, and Z. I would feel a certain way when the day was done. I would be with so-and-so and such-and-such, whoever that might be. And I'm going to tell you, when you do an ideal vision, reality doesn't matter. I know that sounds really strange, but everyone brings their realist into this. I don't want you to when you do this, because it doesn't really give you your ideal vision. It doesn't mean that you can do it, but it does mean that you can get the ideal vision and then you can tailor it. So if your ideal vision is that you do go to Costa Rica or some amazing tropical island, if that's what you love, but you can't afford it this year, okay, fine. Don't dim that light. Don't dim it down, but get your ideal vision and then see if you can work with it. I love for people to vision about how they would eat or what they would eat and how you would really feel at the end of the day. What do you want that result to be? Do you want to be stuffed and bloated and falling over? Do you want to feel light and comfortable in your clothes? Do you want to feel connected to other people? Whatever that is, that's the ideal vision. And then six, the final question is, what would you need to make that happen? As I mentioned, sometimes you can't do the ideal vision, but you compare it down. And if that needs to happen, what would you need to make that vision happen? Who would you want over? What would you need to do? Where would you need to go? How would you need that to occur? How would you need to eat to make that vision happen? So in answering those six questions, then you can truly align your vision with your reality. How and what and where does that look like? You see, because now on 11/11/2019, you have 2 weeks to totally put that vision in place. You can put it in the works. Does your vision align with having Thanksgiving at your house or having it at someone else's house or going away or, you know, having certain foods? What foods are you wanting to eat and what quantities? And what do you want your eating behaviors to look like that day? Those are all things you can vision now and begin to take steps to help you. And I'm going to help a little bit more with respect to that. Here are the usual obstacles to food at Thanksgiving. And in my subsequent calls this month, I'll dabble in some other obstacles. But tonight, I want to focus on the two that I find are primary for people. Preparation. And that's not recipe management. That's preparing the food during the days before and the day of. So when it comes to, you know, food behaviors, sitting there and preparing and preparing and preparing and preparing food for many people can be triggering and troublesome. So preparation can be an obstacle and what I call leftover management. Those are two really steep obstacles that I've worked with patients around this time of year when it comes to Thanksgiving. And this can also go for other holidays in December as well as New Year's for some people who do a lot around food. So let's look at some options for preparation and leftover management that can help you start to get your mind thinking now to be empowered then, right? So when it comes to preparation, what I call preparation nibbling, one of the best things to do when it comes to that is have other people come around when you're prepping. We tend to not eat as much when we're talking to other people. Part of that's human nature and communication and connection. Part of it can be for people that they feel a little bit more closed off and not willing to eat their way through that preparation when other people are watching them. But I know that connection with other people is radically helpful. So don't do any prep without other people. If you're not having it at your house and you go to another person's house to do the preparation, that becomes your mindset about just being social, community, connected. So make a prep party. Allow that preparation to be about connection and community and communication as opposed to isolation and eating. And remember, do not do preparation without eating a big breakfast or a big lunch, depending on when you're doing prep. You need to make sure that you have a good on-plan meal with some protein, some fruit, some fiber, some fat in it to keep your blood sugar stable. So it could be that you plan a nice, solid breakfast on plan that keeps you satisfied and you begin prep right after. Because when we prepare, obviously, and we're not hungry, it's a whole lot harder and less enticing to nibble your way through, right? You can also think about pre-prepping some things a day or a week ahead of time. Not all things can be pre-prepped, but soups are easy to pre-prep a ton of and freeze. You can prepare a turkey the day before and keep it in the refrigerator. Sometimes you can prep salads and keep them separate. So there's certain things you can definitely pre-prep the day before or a few days before in creating this preparation party. So even if you're not doing Thanksgiving with a certain friend, you guys can still do your pre-prep because you might do it the weekend before and freeze it. I've had friends do Thanksgiving preparation parties where they've all gotten together on that Sunday before Thanksgiving and they all pre-prep a couple dishes and they go home and they put it in the freezer. So they're all doing it together in connection. Somebody's kitchen gets really super messy and everybody cleans it up, but it's a load of fun. And you do use connection in that process. You do it after a good meal and you connect and communicate. So that preparation nibbling can be helped by those two things. And there are some other tips that you can use, but well, three, I should say. The biggest thing is to make sure that you're solidly, comfortably full, and then have some pre-prep time within a community and connect, as opposed to doing it isolatory. Now, when it comes to leftovers, because as I mentioned, this is the second part that I've had lots of people have struggle with, and that will handle some of the other parts, because obviously the recipes and the meal inside and how to manage portions, et cetera, we will definitely handle on next week's call. But leftover management is the other part that you can start planning for now. The pre-prep party can be planned now, right? But the leftover management can be planned now. So a lot of times what gets people into trouble is having the vat of mashed potatoes that's left over. Well, I'm going to teach you too that you can make that, you know, we can talk about the cauliflower mashed potatoes that are more on plan, and it's a lot easier than to have those left over, right? But if you have these other foods and there's lots of them, how do you manage these foods in your refrigerator? Well, one is to make sure you go out the week before, go to a Target or a Lowe's or a Publix or a Harris Teeter and get a lot of those Tupperware containers that are disposable. Because you can actually take your leftovers then and portion them in those, and you can do many, many things. One, you can freeze them. So if you designate certain people to stay with you to clean up and leftover, please don't be the person that says, don't worry about it, I got it, everybody go home. If you know that that's a time for you that you struggle, you got to keep people around you. So that's the time where you can sit there and you've got all the leftovers. You can together then make these Tupperwares of little tiny meals. You know, a little bit of turkey, a little bit of cauliflower mashed potatoes, a little bit of green beans, whatever that is. And you put them in those containers. Now, you can take those and you can freeze them. You can take those, and so you'll have a meal in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. In that, you can also give some to your friends. So then you've got these great meals lined up for the next couple of weeks. If you made some great soups, then put them in those containers as they cool off. And you can freeze those, too. So you've got meals for the next couple of weeks that are, you know, if it's on plan, then you keep it in your house, but you can do that. If it's not on plan and it, you know, it's going to be a difficult food for you to keep around, there's lots of other cool things to do with it. One, if you have a friend that's not eating a certain way and you buy that Tupperware, you can definitely give that food to him or to her and or to that family. Two, many, many shelters are looking for donations on Thanksgiving, some for time and some for food. Now is your time to find the place. I have also seen, and this is probably one of the most touching things I saw, I have also seen people take those meals, put it in the Tupperware containers, and actually go out on Thanksgiving night and find people that do not have a home in the street and give them those meals. You give them plastic forks. I have 4,000 plastic forks in my cabinet because if I've gotten takeout from somewhere, I always save the forks. And so if you go to your downtown and you go to a certain part in your city where you live that you have homeless, you just take those little condensed meals and you can start handing them out on the streets. That's a beautiful way to give away what you know might be your nemesis that those people don't have in their life at all. So whether it be finding a shelter or collaborating with a few friends and say, okay, when we're done, or family members, when we're done with our meal at 5, here's what I want to do. And go ahead and do that together. One, it connects you, and it also connects you to a higher purpose, right? What else can, who else can we give this comfort and this nourishment to that might need it on that night? So there's some great things to do with those leftovers. On Thanksgiving, and these are things to plan now, remember, find another focus besides food. Food is amazing, and I'm going to talk a lot about it next week. Recipes, things to make, things on plan, et cetera, et cetera. But now is the time, too, for that day. What is your other focus going to be on that day besides the food? Do you want to go to a movie? Do you want to do a certain activity? Do you like to play tennis or bocce ball or horseback riding or hiking? Do you want to go on a hike? Do you want to play board games? If you don't have them, get them now. And you can do a whole board game fiesta after Thanksgiving, which is super fun. If you like board games and people in your life like board games or card games. You can hike, you can bike if those things call to you too, and organize that with the people that are coming so that you have that connection. Find another focus besides the food that give you connection. If you look back to where Thanksgiving began, right, they harvested that day, they, you know, shucked the corn, they did a lot of work together. It wasn't all just about eating. We just happen to have modern day conveniences that make the cooking a whole lot quicker. So we need to find another activity besides cooking. Cooking back then took forever, right? They had to make the fire. They had to shuck the corn from hand. And, you know, they didn't have potato peelers. And so there was lots of different things that they had to do. Their activity of cooking took a really long time. Ours doesn't. So you got to find an activity, right? The biggest thing to remember on Thanksgiving, I want you to really hook into right now, is how do you want to feel at the end of the day? How do you want to feel at the end of the day on Thanksgiving? Physically, mentally, and emotionally. And what do you need to do to make that happen?
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.